Hour News. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning, and this is the morning news for today, Friday, April 30th for 2021. I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. Here are the headlines. A financial crime consultant, Kenneth Rijok, alleges evidence surfaced indicating a senior Dominican politician with no history of owning real estate suddenly owns prime land and is selling to questionable Russians. And Trinidad and Tobago's Prime Minister, Dr. Keith Rowley, announces the latest lockdown measures as positive cases skyrocket throughout the country. And former International Development Secretary Andrew Mitchell joins the UN in strongly condemning the UK's broken promise that 0.7% of the GDP would go to international aid. The news is brought to you for the very kind compliments of Rudolf Thomas Enterprises. The details of these stories and more coming up next.
Wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
And welcome back. Financial crime consultant Kenneth Rijok alleges that hardcore evidence has surfaced indicating that a senior Dominican politician who has no history of owning real estate all of a sudden owns a prime real estate and is selling to some questionable Russian characters. Rijok also stated that the report indicates the Russian citizen in question is also a citizen of Dominica through the CBI program.
Not only does it show the transactions, and of course, I'm wondering how that senior politician in Dominica actually obtained that real estate since he doesn't have a history of owning it. And, of course, the Russians' CBI information. So it looks very convenient. And regular readers of my blog know that I've been recently writing about the same type of theft of property by government in St. Lucia. And, of course, it immediately came to mind that readers were writing in and saying the same thing is happening in Dominica, and I should be prepared because there is going to be a flurry of both people complaining about it and people trying to shut me down and silence.
And that was a financial crime consultant, Kenneth Rijok. And we have to move away from the idea of applying European frameworks to solve the problems of African people. That's according to Dominican Pan-Africanist and social activist Maclean Williams. Williams was speaking as a special guest on the Youth on Q program on Thursday, where he was addressing the growing concern of youth violence. He says we need to address the root cause of this problem.
We have to move away from the idea of applying European framework to solving the problem of African people. And if we begin to do that with the idea of youth violence, I believe we could make a lot of headway in terms of solving the problem and helping to formulate a future for the young people that we could actually see some progress taking place, some form of movement taking place. So in terms of the causes, we could name many different causes, alcohol, drugs. We could also mention unemployment to a certain extent. And all of these, to me, they are located as the leaves and the branches of the problem. We need to begin to get into the root of the problem. And I've identified some problems, some concerns, rather, that I figure that if we could touch on it, address it, we could see something taking place in the lives of the young people.
Mr. Williams highlighted that education is one of the root causes of this European violent mentality and encourages a person to do some introspection about the idea of true education using an African blueprint.
Now, if we understand that the ways and the means by which the philosophies, the theories, the ideas, the concepts, the values that uphold these systems, they get introduced to our people through the education system, is it a reasonable question to ask that we are being educated to be the architects of our own destruction and demise? We need to get that out of the way, and that is something for the people to think about. Because if you attend a university and they teach you economics, they teach you politics, but you don't still, as a black person that is in this world, but you don't still, when you look at the subsystems, the economic system on a global scale, you are at the bottom. Something is wrong with that picture. Something is wrong with that picture. What education is supposed to be, what our children are told it is supposed to do, because a lot of the problems lie there. Under the African traditional system, education is supposed to do two things. One, it develops the mind of the human being collectively for any civilization or society towards the development or the advancement of that civilization. Collectively.
Yes.
The second aspect speaks to the individual, but almost from an inside out stance, where education seeks to develop the individual ethically, morally, academically, physically, spiritually. Let's name it. Education is supposed to do that within the African structure.
He then linked the colonial imperialistic structure and the African imitation of these actions equated to respect and dominance, normalizing violence.
During the European conquest, and we're speaking of the time, the 15th century, all the way up to World War I, we saw Europe went on a rampage around the world. Mass enslavement, colonization, let's name it. And at the end of that, they ended up with land, labor, wealth, and they were rewarded for it. They were rewarded for it. What is happening here now, as far as our people are concerned? African people have internalized aggression as a means of obtaining respect and dominance, and they have normalized violence as a means of social interaction, because they have seen their oppressors do it, and then the reward have come from it, and they almost in an attempt to duplicate that success. So when it comes to aggression, it is hardwired into the minds of the African people that even if it is not in their hearts, but they believe that violence is something that can be used, aggression, to get respect. For example, you might be speaking to a young man and he is of the opinion that the more aggressive he is the more of a man he is. We have equate manhood or being a man to aggression. The whole idea of I'm in your face, that kind of a thing. So that is something we need to make clear, that yes, it was done to us by the European, but that is not who we are as African people.
And that was a Dominican Pan-Africanist and a social activist, Maclean Williams. And are we architects of our own demise? And are we teaching enough for moral and ethical education today? These are some of the questions raised by agriculture entrepreneur or agripreneur, Nesta Philip. Mr. Philip was addressing some of the concerns as it relates to the socio-cultural climate whereby society's youth are forced to adapt and to perpetuate.
Quite some significant information. For example, are we architects of our own demise? I mean, that thing could basically have you sit down there and think thoroughly, you know, as to whether or not, you know, the system is really designed to empower or destroy.
Right.
You know, but if you look at moral and ethical education, I have to wonder whether the institutions that deliver that, at least, for example, the families, the churches and so on, you know, whether there is still capacity, whether they really continue to deliver that education, you know, to the best of their ability. Because some children know more about material things than manners, you see? So I think these are some of the reasons why we have the challenge of a lot of young people basically not sharing with each other, not caring, you know, not loving and so on. And if we really want to really build our society, these are some of the areas that we have to be hands-on about.
He then spoke on the role of the parents and the importance of a strong family to instill proper guidance.
Also, is that ready and truly sufficient supervision by, you know, parents? So a lot of parents know, as things are not at their best economically, sometimes have to work different jobs or work odd hours, or sometimes just find a way to quote-unquote hustle. that sort of takes them away, if you will, from delivering, you know, that love and care to that child and so on. So that's a critical area that we have to rethink as a society and see how that we can put people first, you know, put our young people first. And a thing we have to understand, our young people at, you know, adolescence and so on, at a critical stage, if you will, you know, where they start to find their way into the world, understand things better. It's not as black and white as when you were teaching them at 7 years of age and so on. They now have to make up decisions for themselves, stand up on their own two feet, you know, as young adults in the near future. So they have to learn a level of responsibility, you know, a level of if you mannerisms that are going to take them somewhere. I think one of the key challenges is having strong families and having families where love really exists and so on.
And that was agriculture entrepreneur or agripreneur Nesta Philip. And executive director of Creed, Francine Barron, claims risk transfer remains a top priority for the agency. Speaking at Thursday's virtual meeting on Dominica's Flexible Hurricane Protection Solution for Enhanced Business Resilience hosted by DAIC via Zoom, Barron announced that based on the level of persons who were not insured or underinsured in Dominica after the ravages of Tropical Storm Erica in 2015 and Hurricane Maria in 2017, Creed has collaborated with relevant partners to ensure affected persons can receive needed funding to get back on their feet after disasters. The Flexible Hurricane Protection Plan, or FHP, is backed by Global Parametrics in this pilot program. In the first instance of the institution, which has provided US $5 million thus far.
One of the areas that we have also focused on is in the area of risk transfer. Recovery post-Maria has been challenging for many businesses and individuals. Too many persons were either not insured or they were underinsured. So Creed is working with other partners on developing a product that can help provide a quick cash payout to get them back on their feet quicker post-disaster. We are doing a pilot for this product this year that is being sold by the West Coast and Grand Bay Credit Unions and the Cooperative Societies League. Brent and Phoenix will provide much more information on this, but it is similar in many respects to the Caribbean Catastrophic Risk Fund, CCRIF, but at the micro level. This product, the Flexible Hurricane Protection, or FHP, is backed by Global Parametrics, which is a reputable firm based in the United Kingdom. For this pilot, Global Parametrics has ring-fenced US $5 million from the Natural Disaster Fund, ensuring that all the policies that are sold are capital secured. So in effect, not more than US $5 million in exposure will be allowed at this time, and no policies will be sold after the start of the hurricane season. This is just for the pilot. And this is just one of the areas that help minimize risk. But we must pay attention, of course, to other things such as where we build, how we build, what we grow, how we grow, what contingencies we provide for, etc. So Creed has partnered with the DIC and other organizations in the past, and we want to continue that partnership and engagement as we continue on this resilience journey for Dominica together.
And that was Executive Director of Creed, Francine Barron. And DPSU General Secretary Thomas Leta reveals his executive research about the working hours, equipment, and benefits given to fire officers in other OECS countries, and have concluded that Dominican firefighters are grossly under-equipped to handle these life-threatening events which they encounter.
What we did was we got some information from other territories like Barbados, Montserrat, St. Martin, the British Virgin Islands, Antigua, Bermuda, Anguilla, Grenada, and St. Vincent as to how the working hours are in those countries. And most of those countries, like in, for example, in St. Lucia, you have a three shift system. In Barbados, 4. In St. Martin, 3. In the British Virgin Islands, 4. Antigua, 3. And in Anguilla, you also have 3. So their men are not that stressed as as our officers in Dominica, because we are both men and women. Now we are saying all this because people criticize the hard work that is being done by our fire officers. And those of you who would have witnessed what happened in Rosu a few weeks ago will agree with me that these guys do not have adequate equipment to fight fires.
Later alludes that these brave and skilled officers are at risks of getting and executing their jobs, saving lives and properties in the process.
They are dedicated workers. They are brave. They are prepared to put their lives at stake to assist and to protect people and property. That is what is happening. They go there, they enter a building, not being sure what dangerous chemicals may be there. And that if there is an explosion, that it could occur, it could result in their deaths. We have to develop an appreciation for the hard work that our fire officers are doing. Time we have to ask ourselves, are they being adequately taken care of? Are their needs being addressed? And don't we believe that there is much more that can be done?
And that was the DPSU General Secretary Thomas Slater. And in other news, Trinidad and Tobago's Prime Minister Dr. Keith Rowley announced the latest lockdown measures effective at 12 p.m. last night as positive cases skyrockets through the country.
The population is protected by these actions. One, as of midnight tonight, all restaurants and bars will be closed. Two, is protected by these actions. One, as of midnight tonight, all restaurants and bars will be closed. Two, all malls would be closed. Three, all places of worship would be closed. All gyms and fitness centers will be closed. All spas, hairdressing locations and beauty dispensing areas will be closed to the public. Casinos and betting houses, cinemas, theaters and clubs will be closed. The public service will operate by limiting the amount of flights into Tobago and out of Tobago to 3 flights a day, and the sea bridge will operate at 25% capacity on the ferries. All tours to various areas of recreation, pause, whether it is to the boat sanctuary, the Buku Reef, or similar places, tours would end. They would not be permitted. And this period of
And that was the Trinidad and Tobago's Prime Minister, Dr. Keith Rowley. We do apologize for the delay in the clip as the internet is sort of sketchy this morning. Moving on to other news, a former International Development Secretary Andrew Mitchell joins the UN in strongly condemning the UK's broken promises on aid. The UK put that to 0.7% of the GDP and it would go to the international aid into law, but that promise was broken without a vote of MPs, says Mr. Mitchell. The Conservative manifesto at the latest or last election contained the same promise, he added.
Well done with the performance of our economy. So as our economy has shrunk significantly in the last year, so the 0.7 has already gone down by 2.9 billion. This further cut is not really an economic decision. No one believes that. It's a political decision because the amount of money we're talking about is just 1% of the borrowing over the last year. And there would have been other ways of making those economies, but to take it out of the budget spent on helping some of the poorest and most desperate people in the world, in my view, is a shameful act. And, you know, people notice in Africa, all around the world, at the United Nations, they notice that Britain in the past has been a development superpower, really driving forward this tackling of international poverty. And they see today that Britain has simply relinquished that role.
But even with
gained over the last few decades.
Forgive me for interrupting. Even with the cuts, the UK still remains one of the most generous in the world in terms of aid.
Well, I'm not sure that's true, actually. I mean, the Germans have said that because of the pandemic, they will exceed the 0.7 next year. The French are making it clear that they will stand by the 0.7. The American administration is seeking $15 billion of extra money to help the poorest in this pandemic. And Britain, having promised, indeed enshrined it in law, that they would stand by the 0.7, is now arbitrarily, without any vote in the House of Commons, stopping the 0.7, changing the target from 0.7 to 0.5. And, you know, there was a statement, an urgent question that I was granted by the Speaker in the House of Commons on Monday. And what was noticeable was that 40 members of Parliament from across the House of Commons spoke in that urgent question. Virtually everyone condemned the government for breaking this promise to the poorest and breaking this manifesto commitment.
And that's the morning in news. Here's a recap of the headlines. Financial crime consultant Kenneth Rijok alleges evidence surfaced indicating a senior Dominican politician with no history of owning real estate suddenly owns prime land and is selling to questionable Russians. Trinidad and Tobago's Prime Minister Dr. Keith Rowley announces the latest lockdown measures effective at 12 a.m. last night as positive cases skyrockets throughout the country. And former International Development Secretary Andrew Mitchell joins the UN in strongly condemning the UK's broken promise that 0.7% of the GDP would go to international aid. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. I've been your presenter, Hassan Robinson.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens.